If there's one singer in New Zealand you might apply the phrase prima diva to, it would be Jackie Clark, in popular music that is. She's a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit for Services to Entertainment. She's been named top female artist by the Variety Artists Club of New Zealand. She's been in two famous vocal groups, the Lady Killers and When the Cat's Been Spayed. And as well as her singing prowess, there are all the TV shows she's been on, all the stage shows she starred in, and all the personal appearances at big events up and down Aotearoa. And it's up and down the motu again for Jackie over the coming month on her new Prima Diva Tour. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. How are you, darling?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm living my best life.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because you've had a couple of shows already. How did they go?
Well, I don't know. There's a funny thing that happens to an audience when they hear these songs that are kind of part of the tapestry of popular culture. They go all gushy and lovely, and it's just a joy to behold. It's just been wonderful so far. Sold out in the first night in Masamata, sold out in Norsewood, and I think tonight in Upper Hutt is pretty much sold out too. So I'm very excited.
Standing ovations at the end.
People have been known to get out of their seats. I don't know whether it's a rush for the toilet, but I'll take it as a personal compliment.
Now, all the places you're going, Amberley or Portiki, Carterton, Reefton, some of these venues even you won't have been to before.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the point of accepting this opportunity to tour with Arts on Tour New Zealand. I sort of thought, well, why go to all the places everybody normally goes to? I'd rather go to, you know, places off the beaten track. And also go to those halls, those beautiful old community halls that are jotted throughout the motu, you know, and just set up a Carnegie Hall epic style of show, but in a tiny little hall. So that's what felt the most interesting to me. And you know, I know it's selfish, but I still want, at the age of 57, to have new experiences. So, yeah, going to Waikaia and Balkean, you know, like I'm totally up for it.
Because I'm looking at the names. The Old Dairy Factory, Norsewood, that's where you've just played. And then we've
yes,
got...
Yes, yes. Dinner and a show there, Suzanne. It was very glamorous.
Oh,
yes.
And what? Let's have a look here. Coronation Hall, Bannockburn.
I know.
That's gorgeous.
I know. I may have to get a tiara. Yeah.
Have you got a tiara?
Well, I have, but it's probably... I moved house recently, so I don't know where it is. And it's probably a bit beaten and dented, but don't worry, there'll be lots of bling.
Well, let's get into the show itself. Well, no, but actually, before we go there, are the audiences in our community halls around the motu just as enthusiastic as the bigger crowds in the bigger places?
Absolutely. I mean, New Zealand audiences are they're so well behaved. I want to give them more permission to go crazy, but they are so, it's almost like going to church during some songs, because you can hear a pin drop and everybody's hanging off every word. And at the end of it, there's always this big ovation of yay, yay, yay. But they're just as responsive because as I say, the songs are like just little golden droplets of universal humanity, and everybody responds to them. And then there's a lot of spontaneous energy that comes from an old girl like me putting on a posh frock and just going for it. So yeah, the audiences they're wonderful.
How much like Rita Hayworth do you think you are?
This is just forward projection. I'm just putting it out there. You know, I feel like I was born in the wrong time, Susanna. I feel like I would love to have been around in the days of the 50s and 60s where old school Hollywood glamour ruled. And I love the idea of being a little Pacifica kind of Rita Hayworth screen goddess type of character, just in the sense that I want to channel that extreme form of fabulousness and just all the girly stuff and, you know, this kind of drag queen sensibility. But, you know, everything's done through my own Jackie filter, so I try and be me 1,000%, but just when I put on those glad rags and don the persona of that sort of screen goddess, I feel so powerful and fierce and free that's my happy place. Certainly for singing these songs, you've got to feel very free, or else you get the willies and you can't do it.
They put Rita Hayworth's photo on an atomic bomb and she was furious. Are you immortalised anywhere in New Zealand?
I think my photos on the wall of the Emerald Hotel in Gisborne, in Te Rāwhiti, my hometown. No, but that's I, there's no effigies, burning or otherwise, of me that I know of.
Before we get to the playlist, I want to talk about costume because you have and have always had the signature style, colours, composition, the way you put together an outfit. How have you approached the wardrobe for this tour?
Well, I like to have a game of two halves, two sets, and that I've got spare frocks because I never travel without a spare frock. So my first half is very much channeling a kind of Shirley Bassey-esque glamour, full length gold gown, gold shoes, gold accoutrement. There may even be a cape involved. And the second half is a bit more va-va-va-boom, extremely uncomfortable, very fitted, sort of aqua green sequin cocktail length frock, and very sort of 50s in style, quite flirty. And then I've got spares. And if I get really stuck, I'm going to put on a muumuu.
Excellent. That's it. Well, it's always good to have a moo-moo in the background, isn't it?
Well,
Just for comfort,
yeah,
right?
sometimes you just don't want to hold your stomach in anymore. It's the enemy of singing is trying to have a streamlined figure when singing is so demands so much physicality and really filling those lungs, and you've got to get right into your poo-poo to sing these songs. So yeah, no, but I find the costuming for me is an armor. Unless I put that armor on, I don't feel ready to go into, not battle, but ready to, send it out there in the way it should be sent out.
Let's get to the playlist now. You're delivering the greatest diva songs of the modern era, right? What can you share with
Well,
us without giving the show away?
there's a mix of, I suppose it's a mix. I mean, because I am for the first time brave enough to sing, Barbra Streisand songs. And so I am doing Rain on My Parade, which is a big song and probably one that might be expected in the repertoire, simply because I remember the feeling when I was, probably 10 or 11, sitting down on a Sunday afternoon watching a musical. They always used to play those musicals on the telly. And I remember seeing Funny Girl. And I remember that scene particularly and that song and just being. It's like every hair in my body stood up on end, and I just couldn't believe how fabulous it was. So I am singing that one. When I sing Dolly Parton, who is beyond diva and more goddess, I'm singing a lesser known song of hers, a song called Light of a Clear Blue Morning, which came to my attention listening to a podcast about her. And it's a sort of a gospel country song that's not necessarily that well known, but I feel it's like a sort of a I don't know, a parable for our times lyrically. And then I'm doing things like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Judy Garland. I'm doing Diamonds Are Forever, Shirley Bassey. I'm singing two Peggy Lee songs because Peggy Lee is so fabulous. I'm doing I'm a Woman, and I'm also doing Is That All There Is?
Ooh.
And then there's, oh, I know, there's women from my childhood, like Kate Bush. I'm singing a Kate Bush song. And there's also a few songs from shows that I've had the opportunity to do. So I'm singing I Get a Kick Out of You from Anything Goes because I had the joyful experience of playing Reno Sweeney in Anything Goes a few years ago. And it was like, and that's a role that Ethel Merman originated. And it was like the role had been written for me, Suzanne. I can't tell you how weird it was. I thought, I know I wasn't around in the 1940s and the 30s, and I know Cole Porter never met me, but I'm pretty sure he was channeling me when he wrote the show somehow. He was paying it forward, and it finally arrived in my lap. So it's a mixture of big tick items off big tick divas and maybe some more obscure moments, and then some personal moments in my kind of professional history where I have got to put on my diva boots and play. So it's those three things kind of melded together.
You've touched on it already with this gorgeous answer, but of all the women you've chosen, who's the closest to you in vocal style, do you think?
Oh, I really don't know. I'm such an eclectic, brazenly, I'm ridiculous in that I'll sing anything in any style that takes my fancy, if you know what I mean. I do the opposite of what you're supposed to do, which is specialise, and I've never done that. So I feel as comfortable singing in a Kate Bush kind of pop soprano as I do belting it out like Shirley Bassey. And that's just, it's this always been the way I am. I mean, I do have a weird voice in that I can sing up where the dogs, only the dogs can hear, but I have got this big fat belt, which allows me to kind of even think about singing a Shirley Bassey song or a Judy Garland song, because those songs, they have this sort of operatic emotional center where, the money notes, as we call them, are always in this place just at the very edge of a singer's physical capacity. So the risk involved in singing them, you can feel them, and they're written there by the composers because it gives you that sense of emotion and passion and danger and power. So yeah, I have that ability most nights to sing those notes, but you've got to get your brain out of the way and just let your body do it. Because if you get your brain in the way, you can go. So yeah, I know that's a fudgy answer, but honestly, all the women I've chosen, I feel like I have something. I can feel a similarity or a simpatico in the way our voices sit in our bodies. So that's why I'm daring to do it,
I didn't think that was a fudgy answer at all. I thought that was amazing, and I was hanging off every word. Because we're speaking about the intangible, right, that you actually make real every night you get out on stage.
It's a funny chemistry, I think, that happens in a particular room on a particular night with a particular audience, and singing these songs that are very specific, but channeling them through a human like me, a vessel like me. There's something about my personal emotional history, my personal physiology, what I had for dinner that night. That's all these kind of weird things that go into this pot, and out comes a performance. But what I love about singing a great song with a great lyric is just how it really connects with people. And what I have to watch is I don't get overcome by the numniscories, which is what I call some songs just so connect to your tear ducts, it's hard to get through it. I'm even tearing up thinking about this. There's songs I do like If You Go Away, which is Jacques Brel, which is one of those songs that every diva through every generation has sung, because it's just one of those songs. And when I think about singing that song, I can't help but get this really it's like this primal feeling of being loved and losing love and your kids. And I think about a time I sang that for a concert with the Christchurch for the Christ after the Christchurch earthquakes. I sang that song with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, and it was like the most amazing musical experience I've ever had. It just something about that night, it was so powerful and so beautiful and so achingly painful, and you could feel the connection in the audience and the orchestra as well. I turned around and we all looked at each other and went, yeah, something just happened there. And that's what can happen with those songs if you surrender to them, and oh, it just pours out of you and it flows into the audience and then it flows back to you. So it's a wonderful thing to be part of.
Any question that follows that answer is always going to sound lightweight. So here we go. Of your repertoire that you're delivering this tour, who's the one album that you'd take to a desert island if you had to choose?
Oh, don't make me choose. Oh, I just couldn't do it. I don't know. Maybe I'd go back to. I that's a terrible question, Susanna. How could you do that to me?
Just drop it.
I could just say without thought, maybe I would take The Kick Inside, which is a Kate Bush album that one of those albums when you're maybe I was 11 or 12, I don't know, but I sat in my bedroom clutching it and listening to it over and over again, and I knew every word to it and I sang every song, and I felt like she'd been put on the earth just for me. So maybe it would be that one, but really I don't know. The good thing about being a singer is you take these songs with you everywhere. So if I was on a desert island, I could still kind of sing these songs to myself and take some solace from that. I don't know. It's too hard to choose, really.
Now, what happens after the shows? Autographs, selfies, limousine ride back to the hotel? Just thinking about the tour name, Prima Diva.
Well, the actual accoutrement of the tour is not very diva at all. I mean, it's real old schools. It's 25 dates in kind of 30 days, and it's all of us in a van packing up after the show every night and driving to the next town every day. It's really like, an old school experience in that way. But I do hope to meet the audience. I've specially designed some merchandise that I hope will prompt some conversations with people. So I'll be out there, selling my wares, Susanna.
I love it. Well, also, what's it like to tour New Zealand like this? Because you have done it. I'm thinking about you and marching orders and just all the touring that you've done. You know how to tour New Zealand. How is it now in 2023?
Well, I haven't done a tour like this for decades, and I'm actually, part of me is going, what are you thinking, woman? I'm going to have stamina. I'm going to have to really watch myself and not get too overexcited with these songs, just so I can pace myself. Because nobody does tour like this anymore. This Arts on Tour New Zealand, supported by Creative New Zealand Tour, is a really different sort of footprint than people normally do. So I'm really looking forward to it because I haven't done this sort of tour in years. And I don't know. I just want to soak it all in. I just want to remind myself to, keep my eyes open, go to every op shop I can, and just make sure I'm not too much inside my bubble, thinking about the songs and things, and just like open my eyes and make sure I find the best custard squares around the country, like I usually do, and just enjoy this experience because it feels like a real rare privilege to do this sort of traveling around. And I mean, I love a roadie. I don't know about you. I just love a road trip. So, and it is going to be June, so hopefully there might be a little bit of snow, not too much, hopefully. So it's going to be really, it's going to be beautiful.
And are you taking the ferry across?
Yes, fingers crossed. Got a day off, so we're crossing on the ferry. So hopefully there'll be no delays and we'll get to where we need to go. But that'll be fun too. That'll be fun. I remember the first time, one of the first times I ever went on tour, getting on the ferry. I was touring with a group called Strung Out. They're a string quartet, and I was a singer with them. And we were taking my car, which was a little Ford Laser, and I'd only just learnt to drive. And when we arrived, I picked everyone up, said, "Oh, well, who's driving?" I said, and they said, "Oh no, you are." And I went, I had a panic attack thinking, "Oh my goodness, I've hardly driven around Mount Victoria, and now they expect me to drive in the South Island." And I remember trying to park the car on the ferry and basically going, I can't, to this big burly guy going, "Yes, you can, yes, you can. Round, 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 to you, and having to park this car. Oh my God. And then I swear I drove around the South Island practically in fourth the whole way because I didn't know, that's how green I was. So hopefully I'm not doing any driving this time around. I'm going to be sitting and taking photos.
I love it. Just to finish, any tips for touring?
Okay, main tips for touring New Zealand, take a cook, which is what we're doing. We're taking my wonderful partner, Grant. And he's going to cook for us because the main problem with performing is you can't eat at hours that food is available. So I have to have like a toddler dinner at 5 o'clock if I'm doing a 7:30 show, even late, even earlier, 4:30. And then you're starving at the end of the night, so you need something at 11:30. So we're taking a cook because you've got to stay healthy, you've got to drink water, lots of water, I've got to not talk basically during the day, Susanna, which is going to be really weird. I might take a notebook and just write imperious diva notes. Please turn left here, and just try not to speak. But yeah, the main thing is taking care of your body, sleep, water, good food. So yeah, we're very happy to have someone who's a designated cook on the road. That's going to make it amazing.
And the value of touring.
The value of touring in this country is it's a huge reminder of how much we have in common, but how different we are. Like, the regions, everybody has their own little vibe, their own little thing. And this sort of tour makes you aware of all these pockets of people who basically are keeping the arts alive in their community. I'm basically being hosted everywhere I am by a local arts group that gets off their bums and brings acts to their town. Like, they're out there keeping the flame burning for arts. So this touring schedule I'm on, Arts on Tour New Zealand, I mean, they do probably 10 national tours a year, everything from classical concert music to children's theatre to one woman plays to music, all sorts of music. So it's just a reminder that, we all live differently, whether you live in a city or a small town or a provincial city. But everybody has these basic human needs for art to feed the soul. And, you know, it's something that there is, the demand for it will never stop. And so those, these people that allow this to happen, I take my hats off to them. And, you know, it's so important to get out there and see just how everybody's strutting their stuff, especially after the last few years we've had. I'm really fascinated to see how everyone's feeling and, you know, what the vibe is in different towns and how people have kind of, you know, kept their flame burning, really. I think it'll be fascinating.
It's such a treat to speak with you, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Oh, you too, darling. And let the listeners know that you have possibly said the funniest thing on the planet to me 30 years ago, which I've kept in my heart all these years, which I remember you saying to me, Jackie, the only exercise I have is parallel parking. So, you know, thank you for that line. And it stayed in my heart forever. And I share it with the nation generously now on your behalf.
Jackie Clark, travel well.